I'm going to take a couple of minutes to just to encourage you and to remind you, whenever God moves supernaturally, I believe we always need to steward that move of God so that and maintain it as we steward it, so the Lord can continue to build upon it. In the realm of the spirit, there is no starting over. It's like sometimes, you know, in church life, we experience God and then we think, okay, I want to experience him again. I want to do it again. And we come and do it again, but think we have to start over. But in God, there is a posture we can take where we pick up from the previous encounter and not have to build back up to the previous encounter. You guys understand what I'm saying? And so I want to take about 15 minutes and give you some word so that we can continue to build from this encounter when we leave this place. And then when we come back again, we'll continue to flow in and operate from what has been built through our personal time throughout the week. And so the Lord spoke this phrase to me the other week when I was praying for you. He told me, he said, my people need to agree with my intercession. I was like, all right, Jesus, what does that mean? Because, you know, previously he spoke to me about the intercession that Jesus is making right now on our behalf, and we have to come into agreement with it. That sometimes we don't come into agreement with what God is saying about us. And so we need to get into greater alignment with what God is saying. And so today, briefly, I'm going to share with you the power of agreeing with Jesus' intercession. Say the power of agreeing with Jesus' intercession. So really quick, Matthew chapter 16, and I'm going to start reading at verse 18 for the sake of context. It says, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell will not overpower it. So the first thing I want you to understand as we get into agreement with what Jesus has said is, number one, is that the gates of hell will not prevail against you. That any construct of the enemy, anything that's meant to restrict you, to bind you, or to keep you out of experiencing what God has for you, will not overpower you. And then verse 19, it says this, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. And so there's our agreement with Jesus. There are certain things that are bound. Now that word bind can have two different meanings depending on the context in which it's used. It can mean to forbid something, but it also can mean to attach something to you. And so what we forbid is what has already been forbidden in heaven. And what we attach to our lives is what has already been attached to us in the realm of the spirit in heaven. Then it says, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. And it's the same thing. What we allow in our lives is what has already been allowed in the realm of the spirit. And so there are things attached to us in the heavenly realm because Jesus is speaking them. And we have to allow it to be so in our lives by coming into agreement. And there are things that people have said about us, that people have spoken about us as a child, when we were in school. They're saying it about us now. As an adult, you know people who say stuff about you behind your back that are not good, or people who speak words that are not words of faith, even though they have good intentions. Those things we cannot allow to be a part of our lives because we come into agreement with Jesus. Say amen. Amen. Let me show you something else. Because in Romans 8 and 34 from the New American Standard, it says this. I'm going to give you a second to put it on the screen. I want you to realize Jesus is interceding for us right now. He's at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us right now. And as we get into agreement with the words that Jesus is speaking, we will see certain things shift in our lives. And know that every time God speaks, every time Jesus speaks, grace is released. So there is a grace release consistently over our lives for everything that we are walking through. So in Romans 8 and 34, it says, who is the one who condemns? It says, Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. So Jesus is interceding for us. And prior to that, it talked about Holy Spirit interceding for us as believers pray in their supernatural language. And now we see Jesus is also interceding, which is why we can say that in all things, God is working for my good. See, we quote that, you know, in all things, God is working for the good of those who love God, who have been called according to his purpose. But that is sandwiched in between intercession. There is intercession at the beginning, before that verse, and intercession at the end of that verse. So the thing that's triggering situations to work out for you, or things to turn out well for you, or for things to shift in your life, is the fact that God is talking about you in the heavenly realms. And let me show you this, that when Jesus is interceding, it is not like making a request. Pastor Deborah, can you pull up John 16 and 26? Because when people intercede, and we have this picture in our mind of people interceding, we think about people petitioning on our behalf, petitioning God on our behalf. But we have to remember, Jesus is the Word. And the scripture says, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with the God. So Jesus is not petitioning himself about us. That's not what that is saying. In John 16, verse 26, it says this, in that day you will ask in my name, I do not say to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf. So Jesus was telling the disciples that we are supposed to pray to the Father in his name. But he's saying, when we do that, Jesus is saying, I'm not saying I'm going to make a request of the Father. So what does the intercession of Jesus look like so we can come into agreement with it? Because it is not him making a request. People make requests. Jesus is God. He doesn't request a thing. Remember, there was none greater than him, and he swore by himself when he made an oath. So Jesus, I'm coming over here, camera. Jesus does not make requests of himself when he is interceding for us. Psalm 119 and 89. Can you put that up for me, Pastor Deborah? So we see, since Jesus is not making a request, what does that intercession entail? Psalm 119, verse 89. When Jesus is speaking, he is declaring something. not requesting. And he is establishing something in our lives. So Psalm 119 says this, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Now remember, we just read where what we allow in the earth is what has already been allowed in where? In heaven. His word is forever settled. So when we come into agreement, we are coming into agreement with God has established for us that is available in the heavens. And when we come into agreement, it then brings it from heaven into where? The earth. So when we agree, it is an act of faith that transfers what's established for us in heaven into the earth. Because I tell you, there are things in the heavenly realms for us that don't need to be there. They need to be in the earth. Because when we get to heaven, there are certain things we won't even need or desire. But those things are laid up for us because God tells us not to store up treasure where moths and stuff can get to it. So they are laid up for us in the heavenly realms, and our posture of agreement brings it from heaven to our reality. Now, I'm going to tell you that in order to get into agreement, here's one of the things we have to do is watch who we are around. Because we can be around people that love Jesus but are not in agreement with him. There's a phrase that I heard years ago when I lived in Michigan, and they called it there a unbelieving believer. Or a non-believing believer. Somebody that loves Jesus but is not operating in faith. And you have to be discerning as you are around people, as you are posturing yourself for greater agreement with God and to see what he has established to come into your life, who you are around, because how they speak, how they act, their posture of faith will either strengthen yours or drain yours. Caleb had to deal with that for 40 years. Caleb went to the promised land with 11 other folks, and they saw it, that it was good, and him and he, along with Joshua, came back, and they were the only two that saw it through the eyes of faith. The other 10 came back like, we can't do it. And those other 10 impacted an entire generation. And so God said, and we know this incident in Numbers, but God told them, said, look, y'all not going to go in. Only Joshua and Caleb. And it was supposed to be Moses too, but he disqualified himself by getting frustrated. So for 40 years, Caleb and Joshua were around a generation of people that refused to believe. In Hebrews chapter 3, it talks about that. And I'm going to start reading at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. I'm going to read this really quick, and I'm going to give you a few points for you to remember, to meditate on, and then we'll be done. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says this. Take care, brethren, that there not be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. What we are seeing right now are believers who are falling away from God. And it's a heart issue. It's not even a love Jesus issue with the head. It's a loving Jesus from the heart issue. It's a heart issue when someone can sing a song about Jesus, but be behind closed doors, live an unholy life. It's a heart issue. And we're seeing heart issues with people who have been hurt in church, because we've all experienced it, and allowing themselves to get healed, or others who've been hurt and allow themselves to withdraw and isolate. And so it says, there was an evil believing heart that falls away from the living God. Verse 13, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Now, sin is not how we picture it, even though it involves what we picture. Sin, from the Hebrew perspective, is being out of alignment with God and missing the mark. It's not about a specific behavior, because missing the mark produces those behaviors. So we think immorality, lying, that's sin, which it is. But it is the fruit of being out of alignment and missing the mark. That's only a symptom. The heart issue is they're not in alignment with God. That's the real problem. And God has so much better for them, but they have to get into alignment and get into agreement. And then verse 14 says, we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. It says, while it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, is when they provoked me. Here's the part I wanted to get to. Who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Now, this is saying a lot, and we have to connect the dots. And one of the things I do when I study is I look at a scripture backwards to help me connect the dots. So verse 19, we see that there were people who had unbelief, which caused them not to enter into what God had for them. Now, that unbelief produced, if we back up to verse 18, disobedience was the result of disobedience. So we see unbelief happening, which now causes or has produced disobedience. And that disobedience is a result of being out of alignment, being in sin. So misalignment will produce disobedience. Disobedience will produce unbelief. So they were in unbelief and disobedience, and Caleb and Joshua were in this environment and had to stay in a place of faith. Because we saw when they crossed over, Caleb told Joshua, give me this mountain that I saw. How did he stay there? He kept himself in agreement, even though there was a crowd of people who were not. In this season, we must keep ourselves in agreement with God, regardless of who is not in agreement. Even if they say they love Jesus, because the scripture says that bad company corrupts good, what? Character. And sometimes bad company can be someone who loves God. And this is what will make them bad company, real quick. Number one, if they're given to gossip. Believers who do more gossiping than intercession are those who could corrupt your good character and cause you to not be in agreement with God. Those are the folks that you need to be like, listen, don't come with me with that unless we're going to pray. And if you're doing more talking about the problem than praying about the problem, then you need to not see me with that problem. Because you need to preserve your posture of faith. The second one is a person that is undisciplined in relation to prayer and study of the word. Somebody who's not given to prayer or studying the word, they will impact how you operate in faith if you let them impact you. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word. So you need people around you that are full of prayer and full of the word, so that when there's an issue, they're going to speak the word to you, not their opinion. Because telling people about your problems may make you feel good, but it won't necessarily build your faith if they are not people of the word. If I come to you to share an issue I'm dealing with, I want you to speak the word to me and help me build my faith, and then we're going to intercede and come into agreement about that thing. I don't need you just to be like, child, yeah. Number three, people who are led by their emotions rather than or more than led by the Spirit of God. That is a person or a group of people that can impact how you operate in faith and get you out of agreement with Jesus. Jesus is saying that your faith won't fail not, and somebody else is being emotional and irrational and trying and all up in a frenzy and trying to get you to go where they are. If everybody's in their emotions, who's going to hear the Lord? David was very clear when Ziklag was burned down. His home had been burned. His family had been taken captive. So in modern day, we can say they were arrested. His friends' homes were down. So it was like a natural disaster. Everybody's home was gone instantly. Everybody's family's arrested. David took the opportunity to deal with his emotions first. Because it said he encouraged himself in the Lord. And then after that, it says he asked for the ephod and inquired of God. See, some don't take the time to deal with their emotions before they inquire. They're trying to hear God in the midst of loud emotions. And in that, it impacts their ability to get into an agreement and establish on earth what Jesus has already established for them in the heavens. Because any and everything we face, Jesus saw it before we faced it. And there was a solution provided before we faced it. Now, number four, which we saw in this scripture, a person that hears the word but doesn't mix it with faith. We see in Hebrews, it said that the word they heard didn't profit them. Oh, I'm sorry, we didn't read that part. Hebrews 4 and 2. Because it's talking about this same incident from the end of Hebrews 3. Hebrews 4 and 2 says, "For indeed we have had the good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit or benefit them, because it was not united," or the King James says, "mixed with faith in those who heard it." So the word was being spoken, but it didn't benefit them because they didn't attach their faith to it. So the fourth way someone can become bad company, which you need to be careful of, is a person that hears the word but doesn't mix it with faith. They could be the person shouting over the word right next to you. They could be the person that said, "Ooh, that was a powerful presence of the Lord." They can be one say, "Ooh, wasn't that a good word, Krishana? Wasn't that a good word?" And then they didn't mix it with faith, and then now you're walking in faith, but then now they're trying to discourage you in your walk. Not openly, but by saying something that's not in agreement with Jesus. Speaking the opposite of what God has said. And there are those who allow the cares of life to choke the word. When we are dealing with the cares of life, we are to bring them to Jesus. And we bring them with the expectation that God is releasing solution, right? And there is two ways of expecting Jesus to give solution with the cares of life. There is, I'm going to come and I want Jesus to touch me. That when I come, he's going to touch me and something's going to happen. And that's not a bad place to be. But can I extend this invitation to you? Sometimes we don't need to come with the expectation of God touching us. We need to come with the expectation of us touching God. The lady with the issue of blood didn't say, "If Jesus just turns around and touches me, I'll be made whole." She said, "If I touch him." The friends of the guy who was paralyzed on the mat and they tore up the roof to lower him before Jesus, they didn't say, "Well, if Jesus just touched him," they said, "Look, if I just get him in the presence." See, sometimes when we are in agreement, we don't have to ask Jesus to touch us. We just know if I just come in contact with you, something happens. If I just acknowledge your presence, something happens. Because your word has already been spoken. And so I just have to acknowledge your presence, something happened. I don't have to wait on a touch. I don't have to wait on the emotional response to the music that makes me feel like I'm touching God. It's like I just have to step into the place. I just have to come to the sanctuary. I just got to acknowledge you. I just have to open the book and see one word and something shifts. Because some things are triggered when we trigger them. What we allow, going back to Matthew, what we allow on earth is what has been allowed already. Sometimes we just need to touch his hand. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. So come and join me, Eric. I'm going to continue this later because there is so much more I could tell you right now. I want you to, this week, allow yourself to agree with Jesus and be intentional about who's around you. Now, while we love everybody, everybody needs some boundaries too. Because everybody can't speak to you about what you're dealing with because everybody might not be in a place of faith to handle it. It doesn't make them bad people. It means they're just not ready. So be intentional about your relationships to be around people who will come into agreement and will pray, people who are full of faith, people who not only believe that God can do a thing, but God will do a thing. People who are not only looking for a touch from God, but are looking to touch God. So I want to lead you in this prayer of agreement. Because one of the things when the Lord first spoke this to me, it's like, Lord, there are so many things that you are saying. And there are so many things that are said when people pray. And there are supernatural languages that my understanding can't even fathom. So how do I agree with something that I don't even have knowledge of? Well, one, we do it by faith. So this prayer that I want to lead you through, it's a prayer to get an agreement. And I just want you to repeat after me. Because Jesus has established some things for you and in your life. And you just need to agree with it. There's healing, there's peace, there's prosperity, there's mending of relationships. All of those things God has already established for you. You just have to come into agreement. I was online the other day and someone posted about being blessed of the Lord. And I was surprised at how many comments that were equating poverty with humility. And I normally don't get into online debates because it doesn't prove anything. Going back and forth with somebody is an intellectual exercise, and I want to win people's hearts, so I don't do that. But I did respond. And after I responded, you know, the person said, you know, I understand and agree with most of what you said. And I was like, good. And I'm like, Father, let him agree with the rest. And I had this thought. Sometimes people will argue for a certain position, and God will let them have it. Those who were with Caleb and Joshua, they argued for not entering into the promised land. And God let them have it. They were stagnant for 40 years, spiritually and naturally. But for you, God has so much better. Stagnation is not your portion. The you that's in this position of your life right now is not the you that God intends to even cross over into 2025. Going in circles, seeing the promise, but it never being your reality is not your portion. Seeing moves of God everywhere else, but you never being a part of it is not your portion. Thank God for the internet, and we can see what God is doing in other countries and other parts of this country. But God intends for you to be a part of his plan. Seeing other people with testimonies of the goodness of God is good, but it's also your portion as well. So this prayer, just repeat after me, say, Jesus, I agree with you that my faith will not fail. I am confident in you, your power, and the solution you've already provided. I receive your grace, your supernatural enablement right now to walk out this life with joy, strength, and peace by the power of your presence. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just received.